President Trump is moving ahead with his border wall. Yesterday, he signaled that he wants to divert $3.8 billion from the Pentagon's budget and set it aside for border wall construction. That is on top of the $11 billion already planned. But down on the border, the project is wreaking havoc for landowners. In Texas, it's being built right through the middle of many properties, leaving thousands of acres in a kind of no man's land between the barriers and the Rio Grande. NPR's John Burnett reports.
This overgrown thorn scrub is the netherworld between the United States and Mexico. To the north, the border fence. To the south, the muddy, meandering Rio Grande. This was Fort Brown Memorial Golf Course, on the site of a historic fortification that gave the city its name. But when the U.S. government first started building border barriers under President George W. Bush, the entire 18-hole course ended up on the south side of the fence. Golfers didn't like having to drive through a gate and being walled off from the rest of the city. This bit of land suddenly felt unsafe.
None of us come over here. You don't feel protected in any part of the land that is south of the wall.
Juliet Garcia is former president of the University of Texas at Brownsville, which used to operate this golf course. But when the golfers stopped coming, it went bankrupt. Today, the clubhouse is shuttered and the once manicured greens have returned to nature.
What used to be a very active place, very friendly place for students and for our golf team and for winter Texans has become a deserted, sad, desolate, no man's land.
President Trump has pledged to build more than 500 miles of new border wall. Out west, it runs along the straight land boundary with Mexico. But in Texas, that line is the curvy Rio Grande. And because of flooding concerns, the wall is often built some distance away, as much as a mile north of the river. The defunct Fort Brown Memorial Golf Course is a cautionary tale. Landowners fear the wall will effectively sever their acreage from the United States, leaving it abandoned, lawless, and unprofitable. So far, 55 property owners have gone to court to try to block construction. To hear their concerns, I headed west on Military Highway. First stop is the Riverbend Resort and Golf Club, where the owners were planning a major expansion worth millions of dollars. Then came the border wall.
The 30-foot wall through the middle of the property kills our project. Completely kills our project.
Jeremy Bernard is part of the family that owns Riverbend. Nearly 700 Americans and Canadians from the frigid north moved down here during the winter to enjoy short sleeves and margaritas. Bernard parks his golf cart on the levee that overlooks the curved streets lined with fancy mobile homes and palm trees.
This is where the proposed alignment is from Border Patrol. The problem with that is 70% of our property is south of the levee.
That includes the rec center, the pool, tennis courts, and 15 of 18 holes. All of it would be cut off by the wall. The frustrating thing, Bernard says, is they rarely see unauthorized immigrants and drug smugglers passing through here. His family is negotiating urgently with Customs and Border Protection to move the wall slightly north so it won't slice their property in half. And yet, Jeremy Bernard's politics haven't changed. He remains loyal to President Trump.
And I've got friends that disagree with me, and they say, how could you vote for this man? What, his wall wants to tear apart your community. The main thing I tell them is, look, the thought that I'm going to agree 100% with somebody, especially a politician, is just outrageous. I just have an issue with the blanket, let's build a wall everywhere.
As you continue up Military Highway, urbanized Brownsville gives way to fields of onions, cotton, and corn. Here I find Richard Droy at his farm headquarters, leaning on his pickup truck. He's worked this rich Delta soil all of his life.
I'm 70 years old, and it's going to ruin my lifestyle here of living in the country. I've never lived in town, and to have that wall there is just going to really disturb me.
But Droy knows he can't beat Washington, D.C., so last fall he reluctantly sold the government a ribbon of land so they could erect the wall across his crop rows. Like Jeremy Bernard, Richard Droy supports Trump and is all for increasing border security. He just doesn't want the wall on his property.
I told him that, you know, this stupid wall is going to have, lights on it. I mean, it's going to be like being in behind a prison wall, lights and everything. And I said, you put them lights up on me on my house, you know, I'm going to shoot them out. Of course, you know, I have time to calm down.
Droy has seen what's happened over the past decade to riverside land that's isolated by the border wall. Weeds take over, and people are afraid to go there anymore. On his farm, he's worried that bad hombres will cross the river from Mexico and threaten his farmhands. He says the wall cedes his property down by the river to Mexico.
Like I told the Border Patrol, I said, look, you know good and well that once you build this wall, all the agents will be doing is patrolling up and down the wall. They're never going to go on down to the river anymore. And he yelled back at me and said, oh, the Rio Grande is the first line of defense. Yeah, well, baloney. You just wait a few years.
I shared these misgivings with CBP. A spokesman responded, the Border Patrol will continue to operate on both sides of the barrier to include the riverine environment. Further, they'll install electric gates with security codes to give landowners access to the south side of the wall. My westward jaunt across the Rio Grande Valley terminates at the rustic campground of the Cavazos family. Fred is 70 and in a wheelchair.
We were raised here. My dad taught me how to fish here, how to get a shovel and dig for worms.
He says they run a few cows, but the main income is from tenants who've built weekend shanties along the water's edge.
A lot of them own boats, a lot of them own jet skis. So they come down with fajitas and sausages Saturdays and Sundays and barbecue. It's 104, 105, so they feel great when they're out there jet skiing, you know.
The government wants to put the wall and a wide patrol zone along the north end of their property. Cavazos worries it will drive away his tenants, who may not want to be walled off from the rest of Texas. Like many large families down here, the Cavazos clan is split. Some want to accept what they think is a generous offer from the government, nearly $400,000 for 6 acres. But cousin Ray Anzaldúa, who's 75, wonders what happens if one day they put the land up for sale.
The problem is the devaluation of the property. Nobody wants to buy property that's on the riverside of the wall. So this is what the fight's going to be about.
Ray and Fred are fighting the government in federal court. They want to drag it out until Election Day, hoping that a Democrat wins the White House and halts the border wall. John Burnett, NPR News.